You're listening to the MoneyWeb SAFM Market Update Podcast.
If you're just tuning in, it's just gone 6:34-ish. It's approaching 6:35. You're listening to the SAFM Market Update. I'm your host, Jimmy Moyaha, and we're taking a look at the pension fund contributions conversation. If you remember, the FSCA put out a statement that was then followed by the pension funds adjudicator putting out a similar statement around 7 billion rands worth of unpaid pension fund contributions by employers. And we're trying to unpack why this is and look into how this comes about. I'm joined on the line by Muvango Lukaimane, who is of the pension funds adjudicator, to reflect on this and just try and figure out why this is happening and how we can get around it. Good evening, Muvango. Thanks so much for taking the time. Let's start with how this happens in the first place. How do we get to a point where 7 billion rand is not paid over by employers? Surely there is legislation that's aimed at preventing this?
That is so. Good evening to you and your listeners. The Pension Funds Act requires that employers pay contributions every month, and within 7 days, the fund must receive schedules for those and then reconcile them and then notify the employer and also the members if there are contributions outstanding. Unfortunately, that is where the problem starts. An employer doesn't deduct contributions which they are supposed to pay over to the fund together with their share, and then they just don't do it. Now, the fund then also neglects to notify the members that your contributions have not been paid over, and also fail to chase the employer for those contributions, which is the duty of the fund. And over time, those contributions just rack up. If you look at the list for the FSCA, there are employers that are in arrears for over 240 months, and that is just unacceptable.
Now, Muvango, you mentioned the 240 months, but they're obviously, if we look at this from a timeline perspective, some payers north of 21 years haven't paid over these contributions. And you mentioned something about the fact that it needs to be followed up within a 30-day or a 7-day period. So we can't realistically get to a 21-year period without having some form of interaction here. Is there something in terms of recourse that needs to take place from a fund perspective or from an employer perspective to ensure that this doesn't happen? And is that taking place at the moment?
Yes, the funds have got all the recourse. I mean, the funds are supposed to, they can take the employer to court. They can approach our office, which provides a free service, and our orders have the same force as that of a high court order. That is why I'm saying that the biggest failure is happening around the funds. It's the funds that are not doing their job. First, by notifying members that contributions are outstanding, and then following up with the employers. Remember that in terms of the Pension Funds Act, I mean, the legislature has really gone above and beyond. People can be arrested. It's a criminal offense, in actual fact, not to pay over contributions to a fund. But we have yet to hear of an employer that has been successfully prosecuted by a fund to recover those contributions. So really, the bulk of the blame here has to be accepted by the boards of these funds.
Muvango, you mentioned something so important around the role of the pension funds adjudicator, saying that these funds and I suppose individuals as well can approach you as an organization to say, hang on, this hasn't been done in line with the law and you are able to assist. I think we need to just drive home how that can be done, because perhaps some of the funds might not know about this. I imagine most of the funds should know about this as part of their compliance and due diligence. But in the event that a fund is unaware of the assistance you can provide, can you just shed some light on those powers and privileges bestowed on your organization?
Yes, we are empowered to investigate all complaints that are lodged against pension funds, administrators, and all sorts of things that are related to pension funds. And like I said, our orders are akin to a high court order. So the fund, once they have an order, and we are giving orders that sound in money, meaning there is a rand amount, and therefore they can approach the sheriff for attachment or enforcement of that order. So they can, the funds know, we interact with them on a regular basis on all platforms to say, this is what you need to do. Our complaint process, it is quite easy and it is not adversarial. So we actually investigate. We don't just go on the papers, but we are empowered to do an investigation and then issue an order that goes in line with our findings. Now, one of the reasons why this is really now critical for funds to do is that courts now have confirmed that prescription actually applies to outstanding pension fund contribution, meaning if there is nothing that shows, if there is no good cause why a person or the fund has not claimed contributions that have been outstanding for more than 3 years, we can't even order the employer to pay anything that is aged over 3 years, which means what you see as that 7 billion that is outstanding, a part of it is legally not recoverable already.
That is another important point, and I was coming to that as well around the statute of limitation, but I suppose prescription does cover that. The 3 years needs to be in, you need to, the fund needs to have pursued those funds within a 3 year cycle. How do we then hold employers accountable for the other side of it to stop employers from just simply changing to a new fund and avoiding these contributions? Because a new fund might not be aware of a previous employer's negligence in these payments.
In fact, before I get to that, the one thing that most employers are doing is actually not changing funds. Mm. They stay in the same fund, they keep their same employees, but they legally change their name. Mm. And then they liquidate the one company that owes contribution. Meaning you can sit at your employer and it's got a trading name, say, I don't know, called Whiteboard, and then, but you don't know that legally, that employer has changed its registration name 3 times. Mm. Now, you come at the end of 20 years, you want to claim, only to find that company A and B that you worked for in the beginning have already been liquidated and you are only left with company C, which now maybe you have only worked for like 2 years. So it is very, very important that everybody chases the outstanding contributions on time. And members can do that by first doing what? If you are a member of a pension fund, insist on getting a benefit statement every year. If you don't get it, that is your first red flag to say, why am I not getting my annual benefit statement? And then you can start following up from there.
Muvango, would the liquidation of a company prevent someone from having that claim?
We are not empowered to pursue companies that are liquidated because there's no one to pursue. Mm. So it will follow the liquidation process. It's similar with businesses that are under business rescue. The liquidator is now in charge of that entity and deals with it in terms of the Insolvency Act for all its debt. And unfortunately, contributions to a pension fund are not even preferential claims.
Well,
so they will come dead last along with everything else after the preferential creditors have been dealt with.
Mm. Well, certainly the message here is very clear. Be sure to stay in touch with your pension provider or your benefits provider. Get your benefits statements. If you smell something untoward or you suspect something is wrong, report it and follow it up as soon as possible. I think let's leave the conversation there, Muvango. Thanks so much for those insights. That's Muvango Lukaimanya, who is the pension funds adjudicator, joining me to reflect on the latest developments around the pension funds contributions conversation.
You've been listening to another MoneyWeb SAFM Market Update podcast, uploaded weekdays at 7 p.m. For more MoneyWeb podcasts, go to moneyweb.co.za or the app and follow MoneyWeb News for daily updates.